Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. I know we're going through the Constitution. I know this seems like, you know, just a lot. It's really not a lot. It takes time to get through and to discuss. The one thing that I wanted to make sure we highlight is either misconceptions and or abuses of the Constitution. I could have done better in talking more about the abuses, but it would take us much longer to do so. As you know, we had just in our last episode covered the first part of the Constitution, which is the amendment part. The last half of Article 5 of the Constitution is the Amendment Protection Clause, and we're going to get into that. But before we do, I want to give some history and some background on Article 5 of the Constitution. But before I even do that, I need to reassure you that this show is still sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. This is the only show that provides the academic evidence and the academic argument of what we need to do to solve our problems. You know, there are lots of people that can entertain you in talking about the deep state, can talk to you about the collusion, the corruption. Folks, if you're at work and you talk about last night's game and all the insights and the analysis, that doesn't solve the problem. That doesn't get one bit of work done. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what that work is. As a matter of fact, I can tell you that the only thing that gets work done is work. You have to have a good work ethic. And what we need is we need those of you that have a good work ethic to get involved, to actually get this work done. Don't worry about the collusion, the corruption, the deep state. Yeah, they exist. And the only thing that is going to get rid of the deep state, the only thing that is going to get Congress to comply, has nothing to do with whether we do the perp walk. The perp walk has to come after we've proven all of these violations are violations. And the only way to do that is to get the states to stand up and say, these are violations. We don't need the court. We don't need some dolt in some office with some suit on, to a bureaucrat, to tell us, oh, yeah, these things are bad. The only way we're going to get into the position of correcting our problems is through Republic Review. There's no other way. I apologize for those who think that there can possibly be another way. As long as we can get Hillary to go to jail and hang her and Bill, let's put them on a rope and hang them. I'm telling you, folks, that's not the solution. That may be a outcome that comes from the solution, but the solution is getting the states to assert their authority and oversight over the Constitution in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. I hope everybody has had a chance to see the video that is up on Reclaiming the Republic YouTube page. I hope that it's a short video. It was done by a 14-year-old girl, and her branding is Hanarchy Productions, I believe. But anyway, go check it out. It's a good introduction to and a historical perspective of our Constitution and what we need to do. For those of you who cannot listen or stream this entire show, you need to put this phone number in your phone, 605-562-4209, because that way you'll be able to dial in and listen. I actually have a few that I know that listen to this show that are kids that can't stream or what have you, But they have the ability, because they've got limited data, but they have the ability to actually call, and they use the call-in number so that they can listen. They don't have to worry about, you know, using an app or anything else, because they may, their parents may have taken that app ability away. But they can dial in, and so can you. And as you're driving along, most people have the tech to make a phone call, but a lot of people don't have the tech yet to where they can drive along and stream. Most people don't have that brand new car with a computer in it that allows you and their own Wi-Fi hotspot to be able to stream. But you can call 605-562-4209, and that's how you can listen to this entire show. And actually, the sound quality, the audio, is actually not bad. In addition to dialing in, one of the things we would also like to do is we'd like to plug our sponsor before we move into the Constitution. And so let me ask you this. If you drink coffee, if you have a proclivity to enjoy coffee, whether that be by yourself or maybe you're a social drinker, maybe you only drink coffee when there's other people around, go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and buy a bag of Red State coffee. Let us know what you think. If you agree with everything that I believe has, you know, I believe in this company, and I believe that these people are providing a great product. It may cost a little bit, but they're providing a great product. And I believe that you can call in and tell us what you think, 425-270-5416. I believe by giving you that opportunity, you can actually confirm that you're getting the product in a reasonable time. I mean, if there's any problem with this company or their product, please let us know. That way you can become, you know, maybe a filter for us, because I don't buy the product, but maybe you can become that filter and helping other people, one, get on board, or help people go, you know what? This is a great product. And more importantly, you're supporting this show. And that's how we can get reimbursed for travel and so forth without you paying us directly. But if you want to pay us directly, if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, we do have our crowdfunding campaign with GoFundMe. Just look for Reclaiming the Republic. If you go to GoFundMe, just look for Reclaiming the Republic, or we have the link again on reclaimingtherepublic.org. Now, with all of that, let me give you some background on what we're doing with, or where we are with the Constitution. We're covering Article 5. And what I did was I covered and I read the process of what it takes to amend the Constitution. So let me do this one more time so that we can talk about it in context, because if you didn't hear the previous episode, I don't want to say yesterday or tomorrow, I want to start just talking in episodes. The previous episode, this is what I read. The Congress, whenever 2/3 of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution, or on the application of the legislatures of 2/3 of the several states, shall call a convention for proposing amendments, which, in either case, shall be valid to all intents and purposes as a part of this Constitution when ratified. So they just said, either case, whether it be through the Congress or through the state's path, as part of this Constitution, it'll become a part of this Constitution when ratified by the legislatures of 3/4 of the several states, or by conventions in 3/4 of the several states as well. And it actually says thereof, but it's as the states as well. So in other words, let me finish. As the one or other mode of ratification may be proposed by the Congress. So the proposal of mode of ratification is proposed by Congress, not by the states. And to be very clear here, it doesn't matter if an amendment, let's say the states that want to have a convention, say they want to change, and that what will make this amendment valid is with a simple majority or a 2/3 majority or a, let's just say 50% plus one. as far as I'm concerned, that amendment still requires, not as I'm concerned, as far as the Constitution is concerned, that amendment still requires 3/4 of the states, whether that be by the state legislatures or by convention, it still requires 3/4 of the states to ratify that change so that the amendment ratification process to change. It just doesn't come from the convention that they're going to edict this. And so the reason I'm bringing this up, and we're going to be hitting a break within a minute, the reason I'm bringing this up is because there are organizations out there that I call the anti-conventionites, primarily the John Birch Society, that actually create hyperbole and they try to invoke a level of fear so that people, I just can't trust the convention. When you start listening to some of the arguments and some of the things that they're asserting, and then you read the Constitution, they don't add up. There are lots of really good John Birchers. They have really good information when it comes to history and when they're talking about some of this stuff. But some of this stuff, they have changed the level of information to actually obfuscate the truth so that they can meet their narrative. It's very similar to what our education system does. Our education system is constantly trying to change history and the facts to meet their narrative. And so, you know, if it's wrong for one, it's wrong for both, it's wrong for all. Bottom line is, we will be right back after these two promos, and we're going to dive more into the conventionites and the anti-conventionites. So please stay tuned. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so there's a backstory here to this Article 5 or part of the Article 5 amendment process. The backstory is on the path for the state amendment process. But before I get into the power plays that are going on, let me give you the backstory to Article 5. During the convention, Article 5 had brought up, or the amendment process, and technically In the Articles of Confederation, this was in the 13th article, the process of amending or making changes to the Articles of Confederation, which required 100% of the states to agree or the change could not take place. And there had been attempts in the past in the Articles of Confederation where the state of Rhode Island was, they seemed to be the stick in the mud. They didn't want to, you know, make changes and so forth. So there were, I know there was at least one point in time where there was an attempt to make a change and all the states agreed except for Rhode Island. And so if you look at Rhode Island's position of the ratification of the Constitution, they didn't agree until they realized that every state in the Union had agreed except for them, which left them vulnerable to France. It left them vulnerable to Spain, England, and the rest, to where they knew that for security purposes, they had to join the Union. This is why when the state of Rhode Island joined the Union, they violated the terms of the contract by failing to ratify it in discussing it in a convention. They did not convene a convention. They just basically, and they didn't debate it. Excuse me. What they did was they just basically kind of rubber stamped it, just like Delaware. Now, I think Delaware actually did have a convention, but I mean, they were quick to nominating who their delegates were going to be. It was a rubber stamping. I think they wanted to be the first, and they understood, just like the slave states understood the protection that this Constitution provided the Southern states, Delaware understood the protection this Constitution gave to the smaller states by giving the states equal footing in the Senate. That's why the state's ability to have their representation, which we're going to get into, it's a part of the Amendment Protection Clause. This was huge, that the state of Delaware would be at the equal footing as the rest of the states in the Union. And this term equal footing is very important because there is equal footing dialogue in Article 4 that we already talked about, as well as the Northwest Ordinance and so forth. Here's the backstory, though. During the Constitutional Convention, the ability or the state's path in convening a convention to amend the Constitution was removed. And as they were moving forward, it's amazing to me that somebody even thought about re-injecting this. As a matter of fact, I want to say it was sometime in July. Now, the convention started at the end of May, so technically the convention really, until they had all the formalities and all of that stuff that they had to take care of, you know, the process, who's president, the formalities before they could really get to work, they really didn't start until June. So it was kind of in the first half of the convention where they talked about the amendment process and it was stricken that the states would no longer be able to move forward in amending the Constitution. Now, I don't know and I don't remember the exact date, but I'm pretty sure it was July because it was far enough, early enough to where the, Madison had argued in having that removed because I believe it was Madison that recommended that. That being said, and I don't think Madison's position at the point in time was because he thought that there was a necessity or a threat, there's the better word, a threat that would be coming from the states in taking back their power. He didn't perceive that until he actually went through the ratification process when he really, I honestly believe a lot of these men, you know, some of them understood that the states that they were coming from, you know, they're not going to be happy because they're really making a huge change to the Articles of Confederation. Well, technically they weren't. As if you read what Madison says in Federalist Paper 40, 41, 42, and so forth, he talks about and he defends the actions of the Constitutional Convention. And as a matter of fact, unfortunately, there are John Birchers, not that it may be a organizational thing or just a personality thing. There are people in the John Birch Society that recognize that Madison was not a rogue character in this plot of creating this Constitution. As a matter of fact, Madison points out that going into the Constitution, there were a few states that were pretty well aware of, and Virginia, the entire state, Governor Randolph had the Madison plan or the Virginia plan before they even went in. So they understood that there were some real serious deficits with the Articles of Confederation. And these people who say, or those, whether they be John Birchers or anybody that's trying to obfuscate the reality of history, they don't understand the peril that they were facing at that point in time. But bottom line is, this was removed. The ability for the states to amend the Constitution was removed, okay? And it was re-injected into the Constitution at, I don't want to say the last minute, but it was in the the sunset hours, excuse me, when they started getting ready to wrap up and putting the Constitution in for style, for cleaning up some of the language. Like, instead of "we the people," it used to be "we the people of the state 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 of," and they listed all 13 states. That those states were removed, and instead they just said "we the people." Anyway, one of the things that came up was, hey, you know, we need to re-inject and reinsert the state's path to amending the Constitution. I believe that that was the divine hand of providence coming in. I truly believe that the mechanism of Congress amending the Constitution is the best path, because what it does is it forces politics to drive the change instead of allowing the potentiality of the states, you know, making some mistakes, because the people that are involved, you know, maybe, you know, people that don't understand, people that, you know, have rose-colored glasses on, that think that they have some really good ideas, and come to find out their ideas were actually discussed and or, you know, pointed as, hey, you know, there were plenty of times. And as Madison talked about the Constitutional Convention and the, in his notes, the discussions that they had, they discussed almost everything. They discussed from Montesquieu, the failure of republics and so forth. I mean, they got into details that, you know, I think that there are people today that think that some of their ideas are just unique or great, when they actually discussed those and they found the problems with those. The problem is that we don't have that kind of detailed foresight in making those types of changes. We don't need those types of changes to the Constitution. As a matter of fact, we don't need any changes. What we need is compliance to the Constitution. But anyway, the divine hand of providence saw it fit. And I'm telling you why he saw it fit is because this one clause, or this one portion of this part of the Constitution, supports the concept that the states have the sovereignty and authority over the Constitution. It is a voice to help wake people up that supports this concept that the states have the power to correct the breaches of their contract. We don't need to amend it. But Jefferson talked about this in his book, The Notes on the State of Virginia, and Madison cited him in Federalist Paper 49 that there are two types of conventions. There's this one convention for the amendment of the Constitution, and the other is for dealing with breaches, or I call it the enforcement of the Constitution. The states have the authority to actually force compliance to their Constitution. And if their public servants fail to act, in other words, if their Congress, their representatives in Congress and their senators believe that they're too big for their britches and they don't have to listen to the states, the states have the power within the Constitution, as I pointed out in Article 4, to charge them with treason and to bring them back and hang them. They do not have the authority to not abide by the Constitution. And when the states step up and say, we never gave you this authority, they either comply or they deal with the consequences. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, that this one portion, this path, the state's path of amending the Constitution, to me, provides a shining light that helps support this concept. That the states are the sovereigns. The states have the authority and the power to take charge all by themselves and to demand compliance, in addition to creating their own conventions, bypassing Congress completely. So here's the thing. As I read this in the previous episode, and again, the whole point is that the states or Congress, regardless of who submits these amendments, they still have to go through three-fourths ratification. When we come back, I want to talk about the what we call the Amendment Protection Clause. So we're going to get into the Amendment Protection Clause when we come back. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
You know, folks, as I was saying, there was the Articles of Confederation, the Republic, during Madison's time, during the Framers' time, they were facing a level of peril that was much greater than anybody gives them credit for. As a matter of fact, the whole point of the 1812 war, it was the frustrations and the hostilities that continued from the American Revolution, just because the British weren't firing shots at us, didn't mean that the American Revolution had completed. Britain still believed that they were going to pull us back in, whether we liked it or not. And boy, when they did, they were going to make us pay. Because how dare we think we're better than them and that we can break away? How dare us arrogant Americans have that kind of attitude towards them and their crown and their monarchy? I'm telling you, my friends, they were facing a level of peril that way too many people marginalize. But And I'm going to tell you that the John Birchers are, you know, one of those peoples, or there are people that I hear, because again, I don't want to disparage all the John Birchers out there. There are really good members of the John Birch Society, but here's the problem. When you start trying to support a narrative by changing history or by not being honest with the history of what had really happened, these guys went off and created a rogue constitution and they violated the states and, you know, this was a runaway convention. When you use that term runaway convention, then they have completely marginalized what really happened, because I'm here to tell you that Madison and many knew that if they did not fix and undo the problems with the Articles of Confederation, and they didn't get rid of, even though they perceived this as a new government, and it was a new form of government. Instead of just a Continental Congress, they injected a true executive and a true judiciary in a form that had never been done before. This truly was a new government, but if you read through the Articles of Confederation and the Constitution, you will find, and Madison talks about this again in the Federalist Papers, that they used almost word for word the same things that were in the Articles of Confederation. And they point this out. And so anybody that is saying that what they were facing wasn't perilous is completely marginalizing, trying to create support for their argument that I'm telling you is a dishonest argument, and you have to question why people do those things. But the reality is, the perils that we face today are far worse. We are facing annihilation and a loss of liberty that you cannot imagine. The people that were living under the crown of England had more liberty than the direction we are going. And as a matter of fact, in today's life, you do not have the liberty to choose what kind of toilet, whether you want to waste water or not. The government will not allow you to, you know, get your poop to the pipe all the way out there in one flush. You have to use what they give you and be happy with it. Are you kidding me? I've always said this to my fellow patriots that I thought were patriots in the Marine Corps, but some of them were actually communists. But I'm telling you, people have been, excuse the expression, but pissing in the gene pool of America to think that we now have people thinking it's okay for a nanny state to dictate to us. What the heck has happened to America? What happened? I mean, taxation without representation. That the taxes that Britain had put upon us was 0.1%. And the revolutionary folks said, no way, you don't deserve that money. We don't have representation. It's not like the one-third, and some people are paying two-thirds of their income. If you are a worker, folks, we don't have a lot of time. We're facing a much greater peril. We do not have the time for distractions. That's why this show goes through the details to help you have the epiphany that we have an opportunity, and that opportunity comes at the hand of the divine hand of providence. It's not a coincidence that what we're dealing with is our covenants of the states. The states made a covenant with each other by creating this contract. And in this contract, it creates a subservient general government to do very specific things. Let's not lose that paradigm. It is not completely lost until they kill those of us who actually have this paradigm and understand it. I'm trying to impart this with you. Do not, I mean, there's plenty of times, and put yourself into your boss's shoes if you're not the boss. You go to work, or somebody goes to work, and And instead of actually working, they talk about the football game. They talk about what the heck's going on with the deep state. They talk about what's going on with all these, you know, shootings, and why do we have all this talk about what is going on is the distraction. The only way we're going to effectively have change, are you thirsty for change? Then get to work. Quit talking and quit listening to the analysis of the problem. We already know what the problem is, and it's not what anybody is saying. It has nothing to do with Mark Levin's Liberty Amendments. It has everything to do with the enforcement of the Constitution and obtaining compliance. And as a good employer would like good employees to have good work ethics, we have to focus on the task at hand. We can no longer allow ourselves to be distracted with all of these things. Did you hear what Hannity said? Hannity says his own thing all the time. He says the same thing all the time. And it's almost like he reminds me of that line that Steve Martin made in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It's the Chatty Cathy, but instead of the kid pulling the string, it's the doll pulling the string all the time. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, not to be disparaging towards any of these conservative entertainers that have this, you know, razor-sharp wit. They're not talking about the solution. The solution is not the perp walk of Hillary. The solution is gaining compliance. Once we obtain compliance, we will demand justice. Once we obtain compliance, we will be able to obtain justice. And if possible, we can apply mercy. But as long as we continually believe and use the system that they've perverted, we will never get there. And I'm telling you, go look. I'm praying, friends. Go pull up charts. Look at a graph of demographics of age, 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 15, 15 to 20, and look at how many people are living in those demographics. You will find that us baby boomers, the last of the conservatives, the true conservatives that understand these things, are dying. We're at the tapering point of the pool of those living. And I'm here to tell you that there's very few people that understand the Constitution. Why do I take so much time and effort in going through these documents? Because if I read it, you can't refute it. These aren't my paraphrasings. This isn't just my words. These are the actual documents themselves. It's almost like if I was a preacher, I'd be reading scripture, because then you can't argue with my words. You have to argue with the scriptures themselves. And instead, we're talking about something that's just equally important to our everyday lives, because I'm telling you, when we lose liberty, we lose our ability and protection to actually exercise our own conscience of religious expression. If you want to understand, if you want to protect your liberties and your abilities to do these things, we have to act. And that's why I want to emphasize, and I'm wasting this whole segment of this show strictly on getting off the distractions. Quit worrying about what the heck's going on with the Ukraine or the collusion and or corruption and the rest of the crap. We need you to reach into your good work ethics and focus on the solution and work on the solution. The solution, unless you can prove me wrong, and if you don't know me, and those who do, they know how I love to be right. I like being right. It gives me pleasure in understanding what the problem is and being right about it. And I will come back around and say, I guess I told you so. And so, you know, I guess if things go to hell in a handbasket, you may want to put me down pretty quick, because I'm going to be the first one out there to say, I told you so, folks. And you may not want to hear that. But reach in to your good work ethics, because I know those people listening to this and that understand you do have good work ethics. You have the ability to do this. We're asking you to get involved. What does it take to get you involved? And what is it going to take for me to finish Article 5? So when we come back, I promise I will dive back into Article 5 and the Amendment Protection Clause. We're going to talk very specifically about that. But I wanted to highlight in this segment the importance of the state's path and the divine hand of providence in making sure that that evidence is there. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, folks, I think I know that there is no more relevant radio program out there other than this one, because our focus is laser clear or laser sharp. It is right on the money. There is no other path forward. The states have to take authority over their Constitution. If we do not do this, it's going to be lost. And you hear me keep on saying this. You have to understand that the framers completely understood what they were giving us. And so in the amendment protection process, or I should say in the amendment process of the Constitution, they didn't just say, hey, you can make any changes you want. They actually made two protection clauses in Article 5. In other words, they said you can make any changes you want except these two changes you cannot do. And so the first protection that they placed in here, because you have to understand, the majority of the framers do not let these radicals or these, and this isn't about racism, because there are lots of people in the minorities, or I should say the blacks in America, they really believe that the framers were racist. They would not have put in this Amendment Protection Clause in the Constitution if they didn't find slavery repugnant. They had every intent in ending it, and they wanted to do it slowly and methodically. To the demise of slavery, they knew that they were going to have a fight. But I'm telling you, it was brilliant that they went with the 3/4 clause, because they knew the Union would grow. They knew that Kentucky would come to the table, and Tennessee, and, you know, other states would start expanding this union. And that based on the Constitution, that most of those states would be free states, states without slavery. So what ended up happening was the slave states, and I would say those who wanted money were bought, because the industry of slavery was they used their money to compromise our politics in creating the Missouri Compromise. There were good Northerners that had to be bought. Or I should say, there were Northerners for sale that had to be bought. Maybe they weren't good because they actually compromised their scruples in allowing the Missouri Compromise to pass, because the Missouri Compromise is an absolute violation of the Constitution. Here's the federal government saying that we're here to serve you, but oh, by the way, any state that comes in, you either have to be a slave state and or a free state. You got to be kidding me. Anyway, in the Amendment Protection Clause, they actually protected the demise of slavery by saying this, I quote, provided that no amendment may be made prior to the year 1808, shall in any manner affect the first and fourth clauses in the ninth section of the first article. Go back and read that, folks. Those two sections are talking about the importation of slaves. That there's no way they were going to allow an amendment to take out the ending of the importation of slaves, because this was the compromise that we are going to end slavery one way or another. And even though, you know, we're protecting you and your little slave industry because it's a state issue, bottom line is, we're going to have enough states that we will eventually vote out and amend the Constitution and actually create a land of liberty and so forth. I mean, the framers, they were working very hard. They understood that over the 100 and some years of slavery, because slavery got institutionalized in what, 18... I think it became the law of the land in the 1860s. I think the slave importation of blacks only was because they were bringing in different slaves of different races and so forth. I don't believe it was in the 1616. It was the 1620s or 1630s where they said, okay, and I believe it was England. It was the king that actually dictated that the only slaves that would be imported into the Americas would be African slaves or black slaves. So he made slavery in America, King George, or I should say the previous kings, the king of the time actually made slavery black. But anyway, long story short, they understood that there might be this attempt by the South and political compromise, so they made it and put it in the Constitution that they could not change any part of the stopping of the importation of slaves. The other part of this, folks, is the most important part. And that no state, and I'm quoting here, this is the last part of the Amendment Protection Clause, and that no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. What is suffrage? It's the ability to vote, your representation. This is not a vote of the people. They're saying that no state without its consent will have their representation and their ability to vote in the Senate taken away from them. The 17th Amendment is a direct conflict with this, because Utah and six other states did not actually give consent to the 17th Amendment. Therefore, Utah and these other six states, state legislatures, should and are constitutionally capable of choosing who is going to represent them. They did not have to lose their representation to a populist system. to allow the people to select and have them serve the people. These are the representatives of sovereigns, as I've talked about. We have two sovereigns in America, and American republicanism represents both. We have the people, which is represented in the House of Representatives, and the states, the sub-element of government. States are sovereigns because we, the people in the states, created a state government to govern us and to create the laws necessary in doing so. They are our sovereigns, and therefore this Constitution recognized them as sovereigns, and they protected their ability to represent us instead of allowing us to slide into a full democracy. And there, to me, both of these clauses also, the divine hand of providence in the Constitution is so apparent in the 7th article as well as Article 5, because the state path of amending the Constitution was reinserted, as I said earlier, by the divine hand of providence, that the few people that said, hey, we need to put that state's path back in there, they had to have been inspired to say, we do need this. And as they voted on it, they agreed as a body. There's no doubt in my mind the divine hand of providence wanted to make sure that there was that glimmering light to point out that the states are the sovereigns, that they have this oversight. They have the sovereignty over the Constitution. And in these two parts of the Amendment Protection Clause, that we seriously are going after slavery and we want to get rid of it, and you can't change that. And then secondly, that the state suffrage, American republicanism, is protected. A state cannot lose its representation in the Senate without its consent. Because really, if you understand a Republican form of government, your suffrage is your representation. What would happen if all of a sudden we no longer voted for our representatives? Then we would no longer be represented. Oh, hold it. Why doesn't Trump just come along and appoint people to represent us? Because we've lost our representation. That's his representation for us, not us picking our own. The states have the constitutional authority to still pick their own as long as they have not given their consent. That's why if you don't understand this, go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and read the article regarding rescinding the 17th Amendment. We don't have to repeal it. We don't have to actually amend it again to get rid of it. We can rescind it. You need to read that particular article. Back to the conventionites and the anti-conventionites. I know that there are people that are pro-convention that are good patriots. They really care, and they see the peril that the anti-conventionites do not want to admit. America is facing a much greater peril today than our framers faced with the harassments and the constant harassments of Britain and the potential of Spain and France doing things to undermine us as a young republic. We had the protection of separation. We had a whole ocean to protect us, and that's what made it difficult for them to project power and to influence us. I'm telling you, when you look at everything that's on the table, all the facts historically, as you look at it all, you cannot look at our hybrid constitutional republic as a gift from the divine hand of providence. And that's why we're coming up on Thanksgiving. That is why we are going to read George Washington's proclamation of giving thanks. And so that way you can understand the framers' paradigm and how they recognize the divine hand of providence. My friends, we will be back to do Article 6 in our next episode. I am G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm
regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.